This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 620. How to end your frustrations with reading with guest Guy Ford. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, where you'll finally get real native English conversation and fluency for business and life. We believe in connection, not perfection, when it comes to learning English. Now, here are your hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Boston and New York City, USA. Today, our guest will show you why reading isn't necessarily as hard as you think, and he'll make a few book recommendations that you can pull off the shelf and get started with today. Our guest today has been teaching English since 2009. He worked in Moscow for 3.5 years and then moved back to England to start teaching online in 2013. He loves his job because he gets to talk with people from all over the world, and in his spare time, he makes electronic music. Now let's welcome our guest today, Guy Ford. Everyone knows that the missing piece when it comes to fluency is having a way to practice, but we also know that you're busy. So that's why we've added special speaking opportunities for all students in our courses. Monthly fluency parties with an All Ears English host, open conversation club every week, and even a live Q&A in some plans. Join our online fluency course to get these benefits and more. Go to allearsenglish.com/plan to save 20% when you join before midnight on May 5th. But this offer does expire at midnight on May 5th. So go to allearsenglish.com/PLAN. Hey, Guy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, thanks very much for having me. I'm good, thank you.
Good, I'm glad you're here. And you were telling me before that you are a musician. Do you write your own music?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I kind of make like I would say house music, maybe techno, and I'm currently working on a live set with a friend of mine, a live performance. So that's
Very cool. Does that help you as an English teacher in any way in terms of your listening and your being attuned to students' voices?
I'm not sure about that. I think having an ear for music does help to hear like more for students, like if they want to mimic an accent correctly or a sound. I think it helps if they're a bit musical.
Yeah, absolutely. So today, Guy, we're talking a little bit about reading, right? So you had mentioned that you wanted to give our listeners a couple of tips on how to use reading to become fluent. We've talked about it in the last few months with a few other guests, but I'd love to hear your take on reading and how do you actually use reading in a typical lesson with a student?
Well, usually what I do is I give students reading as like a homework, and then we'll check it together. Unless the student is a bit lower level, in which case I think it can be valuable to get them to read things out, and then I can correct pronunciation or something like that.
Okay, but I think for our listeners, a big problem with reading is they just get stuck. I mean, they see all these words they don't know, and they go to the dictionary, and they feel it's overwhelming, like they're climbing a big mountain and hauling bricks up the mountain. It feels like this huge task. Where are we going wrong, and what are three things that we should keep in mind when we choose our own reading material?
Okay, well, that's an excellent question. So I love reading. I come from quite a literary like family. I always read a lot when I was a child. So I think it's ideal if students can experience that for themselves, just to actually enjoy reading in English. So how do you do that? So the first thing to do is know what to avoid. So quite a few students maybe pick something like Shakespeare or Dickens, and it's just too difficult. I mean, if we take Shakespeare, for example, that's like a different language, really. And even for native speakers, it's difficult to understand. Dickens is much more what we'd recognize as English, but the sentences are so long. I looked at the Pickwick Papers the other day. I looked at the first sentence. Would you like me to read it to you?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay. Just to give you an idea, this is one sentence. The first ray of light which illumines the gloom and converts into a dazzling brilliancy that obscurity in which the earlier history of the public career... I mean, actually, that's two lines. It's actually seven lines of this, and it's one sentence.
Well, so the words are great. I mean, they're high-level vocabulary words, but how do we put all those together and understand what's actually going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, even like for me, you know, it's difficult to understand. It's just, it's difficult construction.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much. So that's my first tip, is to avoid things like that. So that brings us on to the second tip, which is find something you enjoy, you know, something you actually get pleasure from. So maybe if you have an interest in a certain genre, you can find something in that genre. And really, I think it's good to use reading to reinforce what you know, rather than trying to learn more from it. So for example, if you're studying English and you're studying different grammar points, I used to find this in Russian. So when I was studying it, you learn a new tense, like say the present perfect. And then if you are reading, or if you're exposed to the language, you start to notice it, and that reinforces your understanding. So I think it's really good to use reading to reinforce, not to necessarily learn new things.
Oh, interesting. So what do you like to read specifically, Guy? What's your kind of reading of choice? What are you reading right now?
I'm kind of in between books at the moment. the last book I read was actually The Treasury of the Sierra Madre by W.B. Traven. I might have got the first initial one.
Okay. I don't know that, but...
But when I was growing up, though, I really loved Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. I read those over and over.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But would you say that, for example, The Lord of the Rings would be a good recommendation for our listeners, or not so much because it's that advanced vocabulary? What do you think about that title?
Yeah, probably not so much. I mean, it's a wonderful book. But probably you have to be quite advanced to really get into it. Something kind of similar, which I would recommend, is Harry Potter. These books, this is much more modern vocabulary, and the books themselves are really exciting. You know, they keep you turning the pages. And that's another of my recommendations, is maybe don't try to understand every word. As long as you understand the main ideas.
That's great. I like that. We had Ollie Richards on the show a few weeks ago, and he was actually also talking a little bit about reading and how to choose the right material. And one of his big ideas is, don't stop for a word until you actually have seen it, you know, a handful of times, maybe 5, 6, 7 times, because it must be important if you see it over and over. But if you only see it once, don't waste your time. You know, keep moving and try to keep going, and don't try to understand everything you read.
That's great. That's a great piece of advice. Yeah, I'd really agree
absolutely.
With that.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Okay, so find something you enjoy. What would be your third tip then, Guy? What would you tell us
to do?
Well,
we've kind of just mentioned it. I would say don't use a dictionary. This is kind of what we just mentioned, but you know, obviously, don't not use a dictionary if you really want to find a word. Actually, what you just said, this advice from Ollie, is perfect. So if there's a word, I think as a native, you know, we come across words that we don't understand, and we don't really pay much attention. We just move on. But if it does come up, you know, 6 or 7 times, then it would be worth getting your dictionary out.
Absolutely.
I'd just like to recommend, so I'm recommended Harry Potter. That's kind of, I'd say, for maybe strong intermediate or upper intermediate and above. For lower levels, I really recommend Roald Dahl. Do you know his books?
Yeah. Oh, I know Roald Dahl. I think I used to read it when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So the most famous one probably is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But he's done lots of books, and I know they're children's books, but I still read children's books. You know, I don't really distinguish. I think they can be great.
Okay, so I like that. This is a different piece of advice that we haven't heard yet. So to go ahead and check out children's books like Roald Dahl's books. You know, I was watching Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with my niece last weekend, and she loves it. Uh-huh, she loves the story. It's a great story. These stories, you know, these children's books, they create stories, and we love stories. As adults, as kids, we love them. I really love the book, The Polar Express. It's probably too young for our listeners, mm-hmm. because they're adults, but it's beautiful illustrations and just an enjoyable story. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And with Roald Dahl, there are some which are a bit easier, like maybe Fantastic Mr. Fox is maybe the easiest, and there's George's Marvelous Medicine and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But there's also one called Danny, Champion of the World, which is a little bit higher level. But that's also really wonderful, a lovely story. I'd highly recommend that.
Very nice. I love it. And so I'd like to put these recommendations on the blog post. So just to go through them one time, we had Harry Potter, if you're kind of an upper intermediate level learner.
Yeah.
Roald Dahl. And what was the third one?
I think it was mainly just those two, Harry Potter and Roald Dahl. But there's Roald Dahl, there's quite a few ones to choose from that are kind of at different levels. So okay. I think you could find one for any level, really.
Excellent. I love it. So, Guy, tell me, how do you use reading within your lessons with students? Like if a listener from All Ears English wants to come over and check out your lessons, what will they be doing with you using reading? And how will you be implementing it with them?
So generally at the moment, what I've been doing is using reading, mainly giving it as homework and then using it as a point of discussion, discussing mm-hmm. language, discussing the grammar or just the themes of the text. But I'm working on developing, literature is my passion. So I'm trying to think of, new ways to integrate it and maybe, help teach writing or mm-hmm. just like analyzing books and just seeing how they work and how they function. Yeah.
And what kinds of students do you work best with? Like what kinds of goals should they come to you with?
I think generally my ideal students, so they're kind of maybe slight not beginner, although I'm kind of happy to teach lower levels, but I think students will get more out of my lessons if they're higher level and they're really looking to polish their English, you know, their grammar, their vocabulary, their pronunciation.
Okay, yeah. Good. And so you've been teaching for a while online and other places, and now you're on italki, is that right? How long have you been teaching, Guy?
Well, I've been teaching since 2009.
Okay, so quite a while. Mm-hmm. Very good. And so you must have some nice success stories there from students who have worked with you. What do they tend to say when they finish working with you?
That's a difficult question. But I think students, I've had quite a few students who've been really quite surprised by the amount of progress they've been able to make through studying online. And that's really rewarding to hear that,
Awesome. So what's your schedule looking like for this fall? Are you busy?
I'm not too busy at the moment. I've got a few spaces available. Yeah.
Okay. So if we have listeners who want to work specifically on using some of these books that you've mentioned or other books and they want to work with you using your reading framework, let's have them go over and work with you. So Guy, how can our listeners find your profile?
Okay. So my name is Guy Ford, which is GUYFFORDE, slightly strange spelling of my surname. And my, if you go to italki.com/teacher/277-1740. And that's my profile.
All right. Very cool. Well, this has been good. I think reading is a key piece. And I think that I'm glad that we're getting at this topic quite a bit this fall, guys, because, you know, don't dismiss reading. It is important. It's not just about listening and speaking. We need to implement reading, but we need to do it in a way that we don't lose confidence, because that's what it comes back to. I think a lot of students pick up a book, try it, and then they throw it across the room because they lose this sense of confidence. Okay. So Guy and other teachers are here to help you with this. So I want to encourage you to go on over and book a lesson with Guy and give it a try. Don't give up on reading. Very good, Guy. I know we had a couple of technical issues getting started today, but we finally got it going. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Guy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. listening to All Ears English. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, follow our show wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.